Good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off Fulfill the Podcast. Today is January 15, 2019, which means we are halfway through the first month of the year. How do you feel? Well, I'll tell you how I feel. If 2018 was a cautionary tale of how quickly a year could move past you, I have work to do, because if I'm not careful, 2019 will breeze past me, and all of those things that I said that I wanted to do, that I need to do, that I have to do in order to be a better me, I won't get accomplished. For instance, reading books. Like, it's already the 15th and I haven't started a new book yet, but be with me, pray with me. I did download an Audible last night, so I figure maybe I'll listen to a book, read a book, listen to a book, read a book. I don't know. I'm working through it. You know, reading is not one of my favorite pastimes, but I feel like it's important that I read more. And it doesn't just have to be a traditional book, more articles, more magazines. I think it would make me more informed in terms of just podcasting from day to day. But anyway, you know, the new year brings about a lot of change. There are a lot of people at my company who have found different and better opportunities, so they're moving on. People are taking promotions. People are, you know, have gotten engaged over the holidays. So 2019, or pregnant, or announced that they're pregnant. So 2019 definitely has the ability to be a transformative year for so many people for so many different reasons. So we're just praying that everybody stay focused on whatever their goals are and push through. Anyway, I was kind of scrambled this morning. Scattered brain is probably more. My brain wasn't scrambled. It was scattered. Trying to figure out what I wanted to talk about. And a friend brought up the what has become the 10-year challenge on Facebook / Instagram / whatever social media platform you happen to use. So people are pretty much posting, you know, then and now, what was going on then and what was going on now. But a friend brought to my attention that the original intent of the post, which goes to prove that people don't really read instructions or follow directions, is you were supposed to place your very first Facebook profile picture next to your current profile picture with the tagline or question, how hard has age hit me? Or how hard has age changed me? I don't know. I never can remember the question. Hold on. I want to make sure that I get this right. Like, this is important. Well, it really ain't, but it is. So the challenge is, how hard did aging hit you? So, you know, it's, you're kind of looking back at, you know, where you were or what you look like, whenever you started Facebook, which is not necessarily 10 years. It's a smaller period of time for other people, but I think people are trying to use it like that whole, remember when Jenny Jones, but I think other people did too. Remember Jenny Jones used to have those shows where it was like, you dissed me in high school, but now I am fine and you want me? Those type of challenges, and like all of the men had become strippers and all of the women had become bimbos. Well, anyway, something like that. I think people are trying to kind of recreate that moment, that moment of things. So you have these various different pictures. But a friend was like, hey, why don't you talk about, you know, what's happened in 10 years, where you thought you would be? You know, this is always an interesting conversation because I feel like we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to hit certain benchmarks at certain points in our lives. And I know that I've talked about this before because it's something I struggle with. Like, I started therapy at 25 because I was under this terrible misnomer. I don't know what that word is. Whatever. I was under the terrible misconception that I needed to be in a certain state, place by 30. And so I was like, well, obviously I have these roadblocks. Maybe therapy will help. Now, therapy has helped tremendously, but I think even my therapist kind of dispelled that myth of like, what's 30 mean? Like, you still potentially have a whole lot of life to live. If you're not doing what it is you want to do at 30, or you're not where you want to be at 30, that doesn't mean life ends, or you just pack it up and be like, well, fuck it, I try a valiant effort. It just means that you have to figure out how to get to where you want to get, and that will come with some level of sacrifice, and you know, you push through, you figure it out. So anyway, I was thinking a little bit about 10 years ago for me. So technically, I mean, it's, I guess I'm entering my 34th year because my birthday is in August and this is 2019. So technically 10 years from today would have been January 15th, 2009. So 2008 ended a little raucous, if you will. So I had just started work in January of 2008. So, you know, the first several months of 2008, it was more or less like trying to figure out, like, I was finally in a position where I could actually pay my bills without a lot of stress. And I was trying to save money and I was being extremely, extremely frugal in terms of how I was spending. I was really trying to watch every dime, penny pinching. I probably should go back to that way of living because I feel like I was less broke then. But nonetheless, my grandfather, whose birthday was a couple of days ago, had just passed away in October. And the funny thing is, it's interesting how life works. My father had called me maybe a week or so before my grandfather had passed and was like, what are your plans for Thanksgiving? So mind you, like, this was my first year working. I think I had gone on a trip in May. I had gone on a trip in May. I had met my mom in Vegas, my mom and my aunt in Vegas for her birthday. So that was like the first real grown-up thing that I had done since I had been working, like able to kind of like fly myself out. So I was really excited about that. And I kind of had plans. So November, I was going to go to Chicago because my best friend Steven was going to go home. And Kevin, another really good friend of ours, was living in Chicago because he was doing his graduate program at Roosevelt. So we were all going to be together and we were going to do the whole Black Friday thing. And I was going to go home for Christmas. And my dad was like, I don't know what your plans are for Thanksgiving, but you might want to come home because I don't know if Granddad is going to make it through, you know, the end of 2008. And I was like, well, I mean, I don't really want to, like, I was like, how am I going, like, he was like, fly to Chicago and then like rent a car and drive home. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that, you know, in my mind, literally. I was like, I really don't want, I didn't say that, but I think he could feel it. Well, my grandfather passed away October 21st. So I had literally just started a new role. I had gotten a promotion at the beginning of October. So I had started that role on the 15th. And then my grandfather passed away on the 21st. So I wasn't there very long. And then I was off for a week for bereavement. Because at that time, they value grandparents. They don't value grandparents anymore. So you get like a day. But I was off for a week for bereavement. So I had gone home, had come back to work. Then I was gone for a week in November. And then I was gone for the remainder of the year. Enter January 2009. So came back to work. Was at this point, January 15, 2009, I was looking at, you know, getting ready to celebrate like my first year, my first anniversary of working. And I had applied for graduate school in the for the fall of 2008. And I didn't get in. I had applied to like Boston University, which at one point didn't have a GRE requirement, but then they started having one. I applied to Columbia and I had gotten waitlisted. So I was really hopeful that something happened with Columbia, and it didn't. And so I was kind of deflated because I had decided that I wanted to go into arts administration, or I wanted to get a degree in arts administration and then transition into that field. And so, I was, you know, fresh off of that disappointment and trying to figure out what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And obviously people were like, well, you know, you got to go to grad school. You might as well go to grad school for something that you want to go to grad school for. Lesson learned there. And and so I was trying to figure that out and trying to figure out work because I had an exam that I need to take for my current job. I need to have an additional license. It was just a lot going on. So I don't know if I had to jump ahead to present day and look back over 10 years, you know, a lot has happened in that time frame. I've lost other family members, my mom, my aunt. I've lost friends from high school and college. I've lost other relatives, of course. There are relationships that have gone awry, things that I thought were going to be great that weren't great. But I've also gained some cool friends and established some great relationships. And I guess the whole point of, you know, putting up the pictures and kind of, you know, looking at yourself then, like, you know, oftentimes people hold up old pictures of yourself and they say, what would you tell yourself? What would you tell your younger self? What would you have said to this person about what they were going through at that time? And I think that I come up with the whole concept of, don't put a lot of undue pressure on yourself to be something you're not, or to do something that you're not, that's not, you know, in your wheelhouse. You know, don't put a lot of pressure on yourself by holding yourself out up against your friends and other family members and what it is that they're doing. Because, you know, the reality of the situation is a lot of people are struggling. A lot of people are going through difficult things that you don't outwardly see. Just because someone drives a nice car and lives in a great house and is seemingly living their life from country to country doesn't necessarily mean that they're happy, doesn't mean that they're fulfilled, doesn't mean they're loved. It means that they might be in a situation where they have money that allows them to do these things. And so a lot of times they're doing these things and creating these experiences and curating these ideas for people to view that couldn't be further from the truth of who they really are. So I think I would tell that person, myself, in 2009, you got time to achieve any of the dreams that you want to achieve. I think I would tell that person to be less of a procrastinator. I think I would tell that person to be a little bit more focused on what you say it is you want to do. That unfortunately, some of the things that you want don't come without hard work and sacrifice. And if you are a stranger to either, then you're going to limit your success. I think I would tell that person to be loyal to themselves first, especially in a corporate America environment, because there's really no sense in being loyal to a company or a department or area or a boss. You know, you have to do what's best for you. And sometimes that means you have to step away. You have to walk away. You have to go into area or department or division that you're unfamiliar with. You may have to even leave the company and to achieve that goal. Take a pay cut to prove that you can produce, or, you know, everybody's not big on taking pay cuts, but, you know, if it's a situation where you want to transition into a field that you're unfamiliar with, that might be a ramification, and that's okay. I think I would tell that person that short-term sacrifice equals long-term, success. You know, I wouldn't think of taking a $20,000 pay cut now. Not that I would have taken a $20,000 pay cut then, but, you know, I could have essentially taken a pay cut and made less money then when I had less on my plate to deal with. I didn't have a car note then. I didn't have graduate school loans that I had to repay back then. So I definitely could have afforded myself the opportunity to kind of take a hit in order to get to where I want to be today. So I think that I would have told that person to all of those things, but also to make sure that they were remaining positive, even through negative situations, that they were, that they would operate more in a faithful capacity, to handle some of the things that they are going to endure, and to just, you know, not be so hard on themselves. I think that person was very hard on himself, and I think that didn't necessarily benefit them. You know, I think I would have also told my 2009 self that you have to find a way to celebrate where you are in life, because where you are in life is is much better than you give yourself credit for. You've accomplished much more than you give yourself credit for. And that doesn't mean that you stop and throw yourself a huge celebration because you've done this or that, but that it's okay to smell the roses and say, hey, you did this. You've had a job for almost a year. You're making decent money. You've allowed yourself, or you've been allowed to travel and visit friends and buy Christmas gifts. And these are things that you haven't always been able to do. And although you may not be making the type of money that you want to make, and you may not be doing the type of work that you envisioned you'd be doing, you're definitely in a position where you are afforded some luxury. You know, take it in, you know, breathe it in. So yeah, what would you tell yourself from 10 years ago? How would you address that situation? Do you think that you've made some major changes? And did seeing that picture and yourself at that time, are there things about you 10 years ago that you miss, that you wish you would have held on to? And are there things that you still are holding on to that you need to let go? I think it's a good question to ask yourself. So how did age really hit you? Not just your physicality, but your mental state and your spiritual state. Let's talk about it. Anyway, I'm gonna let you guys go. I've made it to work. It's a much shorter ride now, so the podcast is really truncated, but it's all good. Micro content. I want you guys to listen and absorb the information and share it. So guess what? Popping Off with Phil has a IG page, affectionately called Popping Off with Phil. Please go and follow, post, you know, tell me what you think about the show, about that particular episode, any suggestions. It's an opportunity for us to dialogue, us meaning me and you and other co-host. We can share ideas there, ideas for shows, things that you're interested about my thought process on, things that I've said that you want to challenge. I'm down for it. Like I'm all for it. Co-host like episode suggestions, like who'd you like to hear me do an episode with? I mean, like somebody practical that I know. Don't say Oprah. I don't think I'll be able to reach her. But, it's just a way for us to dialogue. It's a way for us to talk. Also, you know, when you get an opportunity on those different platforms that I am on, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all of the other likes, please, the other different platforms, go out there, post, review, give me some feedback so that other people that are not like me and you, who listen to me on a regular basis, have an opportunity to be exposed to me, because that would be great. That exposure would be awesome. And hopefully somebody will find interest in what I have to say, and maybe they want me to take my podcast on the road. That would be great. That would be great. Anyway, love you guys. Have a great Tuesday. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.